Absolutely honoured
once again to be joined on the line. He was with us about this time last year for the Autumn Internationals, and he's back. David Campese, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Do you know what? I'm very excited, tingling with excitement ahead of a big fixture this weekend. We'll talk all about that. But just quickly, I know this last couple of weeks, you've been very busy indeed in and around the Hertfordshire area, imparting some of your skills and wisdom to youngsters. Watford Grammar School last Tuesday, I think Belmont High School today at Mill Hill. How much do you enjoy giving a bit of your rugby knowledge to eager youngsters, David?
Yeah, look, I think it's very important. I think one of the problems we have in rugby at the moment, especially at kid level, is the ex-internationals with a lot of knowledge of the game, mainly going into radio and TV because it's probably a lot more marked, a lot easier to do. I mentioned I was in Italy last Thursday, Friday and Saturday in Petrarca, Padova, where I went 30 years ago. And I coach the coaches because I think the knowledge of that we've got, we can hand on to the coaches because they're the ones who are actually bringing the next generation. And you'll probably find a lot of those coaches are guys who have got level one or love the game, but really haven't played the game at a certain level. What I've been doing the last couple of years is been offering my services to some of the clubs for the coaches to, you know, do skills, go through the basics and understand why we do the exercise. And my message these last couple of weeks has been, you know, as coaches, I said, you've got to realise, you're a kid, why did you play our game of rugby? And it was because of the fun. And I said, exactly, kids don't want to be shouted at. They want to go out there and have some fun. Yes, they make mistakes, but we all do mistakes. And the only way they're going to learn is by trying to make mistakes.
It's you learn more when you make those errors, I guess. Have to say, did that spring true to your playing career back in 18-hide, Dave? Got to ask the question.
Yeah, look, I just think it's right. I think it's that's part of the game. And I think the problem in the modern era is a lot of these coaches, and I think we saw Eddie Jones last week go off his rocker because of, obviously, the team wasn't doing what he told them to do. And if they didn't make a mistake, they get very annoyed. So I think that the professionalism's great. I understand we've gone through the part of amateur professional. But also, you've got to allow the people pay money to come and watch a game. So why can't they enjoy the game? Sometimes players make mistakes. And when they make mistakes, they learn. And I suppose I've probably made a few mistakes in my life. And one of the biggest ones, which I get told about every time I see a function, is the British Lions in 1989. And I said, well, yes, mistake. I passed the ball back to Greg Martin, who dropped it, and Yane Evans scored and won the series. But I also said, in 1991, we won the World Cup. So
absolutely.
We did work from 89, and off we went. So there always is a rainbow at the end of the tunnel, and for me, lucky it was the World Cup.
Absolutely. Look, David, what you've achieved in the game is just up there. I mean, you know, 64 tries, 101 caps. I mean, it's iconic. Just coming back to the training element, and your passion came through loud and clear there. I think it's such a key message that you're ambassadoring throughout planet Earth. But from your point of view as a genuinely, you know, still remains International Rugby's third all-time top try scorer, that predatory instinct, David, that ability to see a gap, and of course your own trademark hitch kick, is that something that can be taught, or do you think it is a God-given kind of innate talent?
Look, I think it is. I think it's the reason is, I suppose, because I'm lucky. My background's rugby league. I played rugby league for 16, so you know I played Aussie rules for a couple of years. Played cricket, won a golf championship at 15. So I basically played every sport possible. I didn't go to the private setup, so I think I was very fortunate to be given an opportunity to do different things. And I think through league and all that was great. But I just was lucky to just go out there and have some fun. Yes, I was 17 when I was playing fourth grade rugby in Queensland and playing with all the old guys. And basically I would run of the paddock and they stood there in the scrum and you were in that this little skinny guy at the back would run the ball to them. And if I did good things or bad things, they'd say to me. So I'd learn.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to run the ball. That's all I wanted to do.
And it's I mean, ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's a simple game. And sometimes we do have this tendency to overcomplicate, I feel. Anyway, coming back now, we're just a few short days away from the clash at Twickenham. Again, before we drill into that, I have to ask you, you mentioned, of course, that an awful day from an English perspective, 91. But from your point of view, claiming and holding aloft the Webb Ellis Trophy at Fortress Twickenham 91, when you go there, does that always spring back those, I guess for you, must be really fond memories?
Yeah, look, I think it's a great tradition. Obviously, the grounds, the old Twickenham was a lot better than what I think it is now. The atmosphere was fantastic. The supporters were right there. You could hear every person abuse you on the field. And, you know, you could hear them talking. I mean, that was the traditions. And obviously, a lot of other players in the world will probably tell you that. You know, the older days were better. But now the game has moved on. When I go there, it's a massive stadium. You go to Millennium Stadium, it's a massive stadium. You go to Ireland, Aviva Stadium. They're all different now. They're not actually, they've lost that that sort of historic feel, you know, because you can get there and realise, oh, geez, I remember that corner, yes, I remember that. And I suppose it's very similar to the City Cricket Ground in Sydney, where I was fortunate to play my test career as well. And I spoke at Australia and I said about Belmont, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I said, I remember walking into the dressing rooms at the Sydney Cricket Ground and realising that John Bradman, all the Australian superstars, this is the dressing room they were in. And they're still there. You know?
Do you feel that presence? I mean, you know, you mentioned the Don there.
Yeah, unbelievable. You walk in, you just get goosebumps. I get goosebumps talking about it. You can't change those sort of things. And now you walk into a modern stadium, it's a stadium.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So traditions change. Yes, professionalism come along and whatever. But I was very fortunate, I think, a lot of other people are playing in some great stadiums. So Twickenham is a stadium. That's what it is. It's a stadium. Yes, people come and watch them rugby. They cram them in. But they come to watch a game that's totally different from what it's been.
As you say, just a wonderful kind of insight into what is such a wonderful history of our great game of rugby union. Nevertheless, we do have to focus in on the present, and we are only a few short days away at Twickenham from England, Australia. Sure, you're well aware of the overall records, David, where this will be the 49th encounter between these two great sides. Australia still hold the edge, 25 wins to England's 22 with one draw. However, England beat Australia four times back in 2016. We're entering into World Cup preparation time. What's your feelings for ahead of this crunch clash at Twickenham this coming Saturday?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot in that history, what you've just mentioned. I think that from last year to this year, I think things have changed a bit. The Wallabies beat the All Blacks about 3 or 4 weeks ago, which was first time a team has done that for a while, and since then they haven't lost. So, you know, preparation, the more game time, the more you play with the team, the more combinations, the more confidence.
Yes.
And I think by beating the All Blacks, you can see that the Wallabies now believe that they can beat anybody. And if you go back, you know, for the first Players' League Cup this year, it was like 30 points, almost 35 points at half time for the All Blacks. We ended up losing 50-something, 35. The next test, we should have won, but we couldn't. You know, we let it go in the last couple of minutes. We played South Africa, we had a draw. Then the Players' League Cup, we won. So now there's a bit of belief. Curtly Beale's a big part of that. The experience, obviously playing at Watt, great players, Danny Cipriani, who I rate very highly.
You and I both. I don't think England have managed him at all well, personally.
No, well, see, Eddie Jones doesn't like him. Eddie Jones doesn't like Flair. That's why he picked boring players that do the job that he wants. You know, he doesn't like people being different. It was quite ironic if you think about Eddie Jones played hooker for Randwick, where the Ellers played,
yes.
I played, Knox played, all the Flair, the best team in Australia, and you've got a guy that doesn't want to run the ball, just wants to do things because that's the way he is. You know, he doesn't want players to be different. And Cipriani, he will not be able to control him. That's why he doesn't like him. And obviously Willie LaRue, who's a great South African player, but they can't understand him either because that don't like flair. So currently Bill's been fantastic. I think he's inspired some of the young guys. He's led the way. We need a lot of experience. And I think this week, I think the Australians, because we've got 4 weeks of rugby under our belt compared to England one,
yep.
I think we should have the upper hand. But again, you know, you've got to turn up and play. You've got to respect England by belting England. And that's very, very important. What's done the last 3 weeks means nothing on Saturday. You've got to go out there and perform again.
Australia, as you say, unchanged, getting used to kind of patterns and growing in confidence. It was a stuttering, maybe lacklustre England performance, but bolstered by the return of British Lion Owen Farrell. Again, I appreciate your point with regards England's potential, shall we say, slightly less than flair-minded tactics, but Eddie Jones has a 95% win ratio, and I got to tell you, as a guy who game manages, as a guy who can also spot a gap, Owen Farrell has really grown in stature, in my humble opinion, and that's reflected in the fact that he's amongst a short hand list to be in the World Player of the Year nominees. How big do you think he's for coming back for England this weekend?
Yeah, look, it's a big thing, but he's one player, and he's not a flair player. Yes, he's a very good player, but I still think he's a rugby league player. Watch him play, he's a rugby league player. And yes, he's British Lions. There's a lot of other British Lions players around. But again, he's won. The World Player of the Year, really. Bowden Barrett's a mile ahead.
Yeah, yeah, different level. Different level, isn't he?
These other guys have been contended for. But if you look at Bowden Barrett, every test match, he's been the star. He's been the difference for the All Blacks. So, you know, if you're comparing apples and cherries, I think, yeah. But anyway, look, they're good players. I just hope that, you know, what happened last week with England, yes, it wasn't a great performance, but you could expect that after being thrown together and not playing for a couple of months.
Absolutely.
I think England in 3 weeks' time will probably be harder to beat, and I think this is the right time for the Wallabies to play. But again, the Wallabies have got to turn up and play. You can't just sit there and wait. If you don't take it to them and, as I said, respect them, you're going to be a very tough game.
Honestly, I'm already tingling with anticipation. I think it's going to be a huge and quite telling match as these two teams build towards that World Cup in 2019. We've been chatting briefly about World Player of the Year. One of the major themes in world rugby at the moment, and you've spoken very eloquently about some of the things perhaps being lost and sacrificed on the altar of professionalism. An Aussie in that order, in the list for World Player of the Year, Israel Folau, great player, was actually rested, not even taken on tour. A lot of talk about overplaying, managing bodies. Do you think there is just this danger that it's going to be such a short kind of injury mangled career that modern pros face?
Look, I don't know. I mean, obviously there was probably could have been other circumstances as well, and I think it gives a good opportunity for younger guys to come through. Yes, okay, you take a break, but geez, just can imagine if you found another superstar and at fullback and all of a sudden you've got Folau under pressure. Well, that's the things. That's also the things you give up. You know, Folau's a great player.
Yeah.
But I must say, his form has been also for me an indication. If as Kirtley Beale this year's been back, he's been fantastic, and Folau scored record tries. Last year, Kirtley Beale didn't play. Folau didn't have a great year. You've always got to have a creator and a finisher, and that's the combination Australia's got.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's not a bad two guys to have sort of at that back line and when that try line is beckoning.
Definitely.
One thing I want to quickly touch upon, I'm very conscious of your time, David, so we'll sort of just maybe just touch the tip of the iceberg here. I know, and you've mentioned how passionate you are about the fun, the spreading the game of rugby union globally. I mean, last time we spoke, you were off or just back from Gibraltar. A concern for me, it's been a concern for a long time, and there's nobody, I don't think, whiter than white here. I'm talking about the fact that last week, 23 players born in the wonderful kind of rugby-loving nation, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, were playing for other nations. Again, at the end of the day, we want rugby to grow, thrive, develop. If these really strong nations are having their best players shorn from them for reasons you can't fault, you know, chasing money, betting a better life for family, etc., etc. But ultimately, you know, you're only ever going to have that couple of three or four nations really knocking at the door at the World Cup. And for me, that's a big black mark against our beautiful game.
Yes, it is, and I think it's a shame that the IR have actually forgotten. You know, they come over here and play test matches, and I think last year was an indication. England had a couple of Fijians, and their Fiji in 22,000 pound test. They played against Fiji, and the Fijian players were getting 400 pounds.
it's if it wasn't so almost bad, it'd be laughable.
Professional. You got England playing Fiji in the opener of the World Cup last year, 2015, and to 100 minutes. And they got, do you understand? So they and the thing is, the lead up to that test in a World Cup, Fiji probably had two or three minor games against countries with no strength, and then you've got Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. You've got England, Wales, they're playing each other week in, week out. Preparation-wise, it's ridiculous. They haven't got a chance.
It's not even so much as not a level playing field. It's almost, you know, just different planets trying to collide. It's mental, and I don't have the answers, David. I wish I did. But I know that all I hope is that the likes of yourself touring the world will inspire, continue to inspire the next generation of love of our great game. And hopefully by that point, maybe somebody behind the scenes will decide to stop being so political about it and just... the spirit of fairness come to the fore?
No, definitely. I just think also we've got to realise that, yes, there's a lot of money around. I don't know how much the IRB have made out of rugby. They've just put a World Cup announcement, and obviously countries have got to nominate. They've got to put money in to nominate. So they basically said, so one country wins, the other two lose. They lose all the money they've given. And now what do the IRB do with that money? Where does it go? Why don't they give it? It's really interesting that English Rugby Union, I think, are giving Fiji $75,000. Fantastic. $75,000. How much are they going to make this sad day Twickenham? $14-15 million.
Again, compare and indeed contrast. David, I tell you, honestly, I could talk to you about this for a million years.
If I keep on talking, I'm
going to get
in trouble as well.
But look, again, I would not want that, but I just appreciate your passion. I hope somebody listening maybe be able to filter this, just because it is a farce to me. But there we go. Just a super quick question too, I've got to ask. First and foremost, in our great, it still is a great game of rugby union, irrespective of all the things we've analysed. Your predictions for Saturday. You were erring on the fact that obviously Australia unchanged, having a lot more game time. Again, you respect England, of course, but do you make Aussies slightly favourites?
Yeah, I do. I think finally that we've turned the corner. Checkers, you know, it's a lot of hard work. Obviously, I don't think he's where he wants to be. We've still got a long way to go with Super Rugby in Australia not being fantastic. Trying to get systems in the place, trying to get money in the right areas about, you know, about promoting the game, coaching the game, getting the coaches correctly, sort of all aim for the Wallabies. So I'm hoping this week that the Wallabies will win by 10 points.
I'm hoping it's going to go the other way, David, but there we go. And my final quick question to you, since you and I are on the line. You mentioned the great Sir Donald Bradman in your experiences of that hallowed ground. Obviously, we're only, I think, about 6 days away from another small clash between our great nations. Thoughts on the Ashes?
Australia win 5-0.
I thought somehow you would say that. I think it's going to be much closer, but Stark's on form. England go in there with a lot of injury woes. We'll see. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be tense.
No excuses.
I would almost on the verge of a whinging pom. Hey, listen, David, have yourself a wonderful rest of the evening. Enjoy your time in and around Hertfordshire. I'm sure the kids would have benefited massively from some of your insights and knowledge. And I know I've appreciated it this evening.
Thank you very much. Enjoy. Thank you. Have a good weekend.